Welcome back. You're on Lost Arts Radio. And this is Richard Sachs, your host. We're back on the series that our friend Dr. Gabriel Cousins has offered to do with us, which we're calling Conversations with Gabriel. And we can get into whatever comes up. It's totally unscripted and unplanned for the most part. And last week we were talking about purpose in life. And so we're going to kind of recap that today and then just see where it goes spontaneously. It should be very interesting. So welcome to all of you and welcome Dr. Cousins. Thanks for being here. I appreciate it.
Well, I'm happy to be here, of course. What I'd like to do is start with a little prayer, and we're going to do a little meditation as well, and a little dance. So it's good to dance. Dance has a long history in the world of celebrating and becoming more conscious and connecting to the divine. So we're going to do that. And we're going to meditate for a few minutes, like 7-8 minutes. And the way we meditate, and everybody has different ways, but we use a mantra that Moses got at the burning bush. And it's yod on the in-breath, hey on the out-breath. Wah on the in-breath, hey on the out-breath. Yod from the base to the heart, to the hey, hey out to the heart. Wah from the base to the third eye, and then hey out to the heart. Merging the heart and mind, we call Chokhmah Halev, which is wisdom of the heart, which is what's needed in the world today. So we're going to start with actually a opening prayer, which is about wisdom of the heart. L'shem Yikud Kedushah Brihu Ushinate B'il Ur Imodaya Shem Yuki B'Voki B'yudah Shem Hashem Kozriel Kolam Amen. So feel that merging the heart. And then we're going to dance for 3 minutes. I encourage everybody to join the dance. And then after that, we're going to give what we call the soul kind of connection to help awaken the spiritual energy. We call Kundalini in the east and Shekhinah in the west. It's the energy that's within us that activates us and expands our consciousness. And with that, I'll just be looking right at you, a part of my soul, touching your soul. And that activates it. So let's get ready to dance.
Thank you.
Okay, so just focus on the energy coming through. And we'll go just for a minute, a few minutes. My soul touching your soul. Okay, slowly come out of meditation. It's always good to dance and create lightness in your eyes. Okay, here we are. Richard, do you want to lead us off or what?
Let's start with our recap of where we were with life purpose last time. And purpose for daily life, for an overview, and where you want to leave that.
Okay, so life purpose is essential to leading a life of meaning. Think that way for a second. It's essential for leading a life of meaning. Now, some of us were blessed, like I was, initially at 4 years old, even though nobody in my family had any medical background. My grandfather was a baker from Bialystok, you know, it's like, whoa, okay. And I worked in banking, but at 4 years old, I knew I wanted to be a doctor. How do I know that? I didn't. I just know I wanted to be it. So my purpose kind of fell on top of my head. I just knew it without even knowing what it meant. But that began to guide my life, because when you have a purpose, it gives a certain amount of focus to your life. And so your life becomes what we call in the Eastern tradition, dharmic. You live in a way to fulfill your dharma. And so being, moving in different ways, studying doing biochemistry, biophysics research in college, and building a heart-lung machine in high school that won the science fair, the state science fair. It was all coming out of this life purpose. And then when I got to medical school, I said, wait, something's really wrong here, because they're nowhere close to my life purpose. But that moved me into kind of psychiatry, family therapy. And then as soon as I got out, I really became a holistic physician. They didn't have that term then, but it was the only thing that made sense, because people's mental states are very affected by their physiological states. And so I did different work. I worked with Pavel Arola, and he had a book called Hypoglycemia, Better Approach. And pretty soon I got in the hypoglycemia, and then suddenly, diabetes. So there is a cure for diabetes. And then it's like, okay, type 2 diabetes, really type 1. And so you can see from this little four-year-old moving into that, into a cure, a non-pharmaceutical cure for diabetes, and becoming a holistic physician, and then becoming a physician of the soul, and then suddenly it all, like, from what? From 4 years old, there was purpose that then gave meaning and gave value to my life for me, okay? And then it led me to kind of higher levels of understanding. So when you have purpose and it gives meaning to your life, it gives a context to your life. Now, what does that do in terms of your relationship with the outer world? Well, one thing it does is that you won't accept anything that's going to interfere with your life purpose, like getting a bioweapon shot. That is interfering with life purpose. There's no way of getting around it. Now people are beginning to understand that, because being, 30% of people getting anxious and 40% getting depressed, and maybe 40% getting kind of their mental functions kind of being decreased, in the GMAT2 gene, the guide gene being nullified. It's like, wait, that is not going to work with my life purpose, which is to be alive and love and really contribute to upgrading humanity. So I make certain decisions along the way to support the life purpose, and that gives context and value to life. That's why life purpose is important.
So what do you do if you have no idea why you're here?
If you don't know why you're here.
And I think that's not uncommon, right? Especially now.
It's a very good question, and the answer is actually quite simple. Okay? And it's a yogic answer. And the yogic answer is keep focusing on God and pick some kind of job that doesn't interfere with your big life purpose, which is to evolve spiritually. So you can be a gardener, you can be this, you can be that. Pick something that doesn't take you away from the big life picture. My life purpose kind of led me towards that, the big picture. But if you have a understanding that expanding consciousness is everyone's overall life purpose, even if we don't quite see it, then you pick something that doesn't interfere with that as a livelihood. Because that is a really, your question you asked is a classic question. And Ramakrishna in the 1800s, actually that's what he answered. And it makes sense to me.
So there are a lot of people already in, you're talking about picking a profession or a job that doesn't interfere with your life purpose.
Correct.
The vast majority of people who still have jobs at the moment are finding out that their job is connected with things that don't go with a higher life purpose. You know, like just choose some job at random, like say police enforcer in Canberra or...
right.
And what do they do? They're 20 years.
Here's where they, there, where was it? It was actually in Ukraine where they had all the police to suppress the people. And then suddenly all the police dropped their shield and walked away.
Right.
It wasn't their life purpose to be acting this way.
Where did that happen? Do you remember?
It happened in Kyiv or something in Ukraine. I don't know just when, but it didn't happen recently. It happened a few years ago.
So one of the things we'd like to see is it happening a whole lot right away.
Right. And I think that I think we're going to find more and more of the police making some decisions saying, wait, these are my people. That's why in Canada, they're bringing UN troops or faceless.
Ottawa have been quitting.
What was that?
I think some of the police in Ottawa have been quitting.
Yeah, including the police chief.
Not just the chief. What I've heard is that a lot of the staff has quit as well.
Yeah. And I think you're seeing some of that also in the United States.
Yeah.
This is my life. My purpose. My purpose isn't to force injections on people, or I don't want to get injected because, police are pretty smart. They can figure out what's going on. You have to be wise to not get it.
Makes it a little tricky because one of the effects it has is that the overall character of the police force gets worse because the good ones do what you just said. I shouldn't say the good ones. I think everybody's good underneath, but which a lot of people would dispute, but I really think that. I don't say it lightly.
Well, the point is that people with morals and character who sense their life purpose say, wait, this is no longer aligned with why I became an officer.
Right. And so what I'm saying is the fact of that migration out of the police force and medical enforcers in general and things like that have the one effect of leaving the people who are happy to do anything, which we're seeing in Canada right now. And so I think somehow those people have to be reached also.
Well, I think they think about it when other when their friends leave.
That's a good one. Yeah.
And they, you know, everybody has different levels of sensitivity, but I think that obviously, I think a lot of police, I can't remember whether it was Chicago or somewhere, you know, it's like, this is not working. We right. can't live this way. We can't live with ourselves. You know.
Yeah, well, the representatives of the government, it strikes them that they're committing crimes.
Right.
And there's something wrong with that.
Yeah, exactly. So that's kind of what we're going on. Unfortunately, we don't see many politicians doing that. But even that may begin to happen.
Very few. I mean, there's a few that are telling the truth, and they have to be willing to be attacked.
Right. So that's kind of how it, what we're looking at is that you have to pick a way of life that supports your overall life purpose, to expand consciousness, to be moral and ethical. And when it crosses that line, you have to have the strength to say no. And that's really what we're seeing with the truckers in Canada. Possibly as trucking goes across the United States, that same thing may happen.
Right. And there's a life purpose for yourself, meaning what you want to become. And there's a life purpose connected to that with what you want to have, what effect you want to have on the outside world. And other people,
right? Well,
it's really the same thing, right?
What, say it again. I missed that last sentence.
Well, I mean, it seems to be two parts: what your life purpose for yourself, you know, what you want to become in your own life, and the other part of life purpose is what effect you want to have on the rest of the world, on other people.
Yeah. So, let's make it three, and let's use the word dharma because it's accurate. It's right livelihood. The right livelihood is going to elevate yourself, it's going to elevate society, and it's also going to expand your consciousness.
So how do you find right livelihood?
Dharma. Picking a job that supports your expansion consciousness, supports how you want to live in the world, and also supports your morals and ethics. And like purpose in that way.
Okay.
So right livelihoods is kind of a translation of dharma. And in the process of right livelihood, you do expand consciousness, your consciousness.
Yeah. And what's supporting, a lot of what's supporting the power structure now is a long established blind trust of authority. Right, and titles, authority.
I'm going to be a little radical here in saying, well, what supports the government workers and the politicians is a seriously corrupt situation.
Right.
Yeah, which has been going on for, you know, more than a half a century.
And for thousands of years, too.
Yeah, wait, absolutely. I mean,
it's a combination of rewards and threats.
Right. And so people have a tendency to be corrupted, and so that's the challenge.
Yeah. Well, it really looks from a superficial point of view that following evil is the way to get powerful faster.
Yes. And power doesn't really bring you anything, as King Solomon kind of suggested.
Yeah, what did he say about that?
Well, I don't have it's like looking back on your life. I'm not quoting it.
Yeah, just paraphrase.
Yeah, is it all efforts are meaningless? That's kind of what he said.
All what are meaningless? Sorry.
Everything we do is meaningless. There's only thing that matters is God. That's kind of what he said.
You know, even if people are open to that, I think there's the issue that comes up is you can choose a religion and memorize things about God, But what you've got is ideas that you memorized, and I don't think he was talking about doing that, right?
No. But he's saying, you know, I've done everything under the sun, and it's all meaningless. The only thing that matters is living in the way of God.
Right, and so if you get serious about doing that, beyond just wanting to memorize what you're supposed
right.
to believe.
This is way beyond that, right?
Yeah, so what do you do if you say, you know, I could memorize beliefs for the rest of my life and not ever know if they're true. How do I get to the next step of actually finding out for myself?
So that takes us to the six foundations in Sevenfold Peace.
Okay.
This is a way of life that supports the expansion of consciousness. Okay?
Happens because your experience of everyday life is really going to change.
Yes, because everything becomes your living is a ceremony of making everything sacred.
So what's an example of that?
Well, it's a combined thing because so in the six foundations, it's called eating a diet that helps you become a superconductor of the divine. That's step one. Step two, so you're not causing death and your energy flows to you in an optimal way. Step foundation two is sacred dance, yoga, movement that again enhances the flow of energy. Three is service and charity. All those have an effect because you're having a heart to heart connection with the people you're serving. Fourth is working with a spiritual teacher, wisdom books, collective that can help support your unfoldments. Okay, so there are lots of potholes along the way, but usually the people who have gone before you have already fallen in the potholes. So if you can trust them, it saves you a lot of pothole falls, okay? And fifth is meditating, repeating the name. And sixth is the awakening of the spiritual energy, the Kundalini or the Ruach HaKodesh. So all those create an alignment. Now, Sevenfold Peace is, again, peace with the body, which we mentioned, peace with the mind, meditation, peace with family, sacred relationship, and how you're living with your family of origin, but in relationship to people around you. The next part of that is peace with the community. And in this case, it's learning how to have the right interface. So right now, peace with the community doesn't mean, for example, getting yourself a bioweapon shot, even though it will bring peace. Peace with the community in this case means stepping back out of the way. Okay, so you find an interface where you're not compromised.
That takes some discretion, right? I mean, because it looks like, just like it's easier to follow evil to get powerful right away, it's also easier to take bioweapon shots because everybody else is.
That's the point I'm making. So the interface has to be, I have to interface in a way that keeps me on target in the bigger picture. So I have to learn how to interface with community. So I'm not compromised by that, which is what they're trying to do heavily. And then peace with all cultures, the rock people, the plant people, the swimming ones, flying ones, and all the human cultures. The right interface, peace with what I call sacred ecology. So you're in right relationship to the living planet, and then peace with God. The point I'm making is when you kind of put all those in an order, it brings you to a way of life that expands your consciousness because you're looking at every aspect of who you are. Six foundations, sevenfold peace.
So that kind of answers the people who would say, well, look, I just want to be spiritual. I don't want to deal with the body. That's just physical stuff. You know, and you're putting that all as parts of one thing.
Yeah, I mean, the body is part of what you have to do between the nothing and the something. We have the body as part of the something. And we're the dance between the nothing and the something. And so it's, you can't exclude the body. And because it's part of the bigger picture. We live in the body. We have to make it work. It has to serve us. It has to be aligned with us.
So when people try to get back in sync with what you're talking about, which means out of sync with where they're trying to push the whole group, what helps with that? Because when they, a lot of people that I've talked to try to do that and they run into fear. And it's really not a defined fear. They're not clear about what they're afraid of in general. It's just like I've talked to people about a lot of these health-related things that you're mentioning and the reasons for, you know, looking at something in a more holistic way. And they get scared and they don't know why. And they just start saying, you know, that modern medicine says such and such. You must take poisonous chemicals to be healthy. I mean, medicine, you know. So how do you make that transition where one person's looking at that and say, well, yeah, just take the toxic chemicals that people with the white coat, and they even have a stethoscope, so they must be right. You know, that's the costume and the degrees, and there's a fear of disobedience to that. How do you get from that to seeing it, common sense?
I think this is where it's a really good question, and it gets us back to purpose and meaning. See, what they count on is people not having meaning and purpose. So if you don't have meaning and purpose to guide your life, then you can be seduced by anything. You can be forced by anything. If you have meaning and purpose, you say, okay, well, this is not aligned with my life purpose. I need a functioning mind. I need a functioning body. I don't need a body where I'm getting amputated because I got clots in my feet. That's not going to work for me.
This has to come up as a question a lot in diabetes too, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
These later symptoms are connected with losing your extremities.
Let's say 40-50% of the people get amputated die in 5 years. And many people get amputated. Why? You can reverse it. That's why I've got a natural cure of diabetes. Right. You can prevent these things from happening. In a reasonable way. There's no reason to have that. If you life purpose is to be healthy, then you're motivated. We call it loving yourself enough to want to heal yourself. You do have to love yourself, though. A little catch, right?
You do have to do what?
You have to love yourself enough to want to heal yourself.
Right.
If you love yourself enough, you feel enough connected to your soul, then you're willing to do the work. So I have, when I was running the diabetes kind of clinic, I was learning about this. It's a three-week process. And at the end, they said, and everybody gets better. 96% are off all medications. 61% are normal blood sugars with no medication in 3 weeks. Okay, impossible. It's supposed to be a slow decline under death. Well, what's the difference? These people said to me, you help reconnect me to my soul. You help me love myself enough to want to heal myself. And then I have the motivation to do what is obvious that needs to be done. What is obvious? That's a little effort, of course. But I do it and I get better.
Right. There's a movie that you made about that. So I remember. Yeah. It's called Simply Raw, right?
That's correct.
I have seen it several times. I think anybody interested in health should watch that movie. And you don't even have to pay for it. It's on YouTube and places like that. And it's inspiring if you really tune into it.
But the key is loving yourself enough to want to heal yourself. That's your life purpose.
And
love yourself enough to want to heal yourself.
It's common to not love yourself at all. It's not common to be aware that you're doing that. So maybe one of the first steps would have to be to really become aware how you feel about yourself. Because this criticism that goes out toward other people all the time, in my experience, always reflects the same attitude toward yourself. Right? You want to get in touch with that and become conscious.
Yeah. So the it all keeps overlapping, and that's why people who choose not to get, you know, the bioweapon shot, it's like, why? Well, because I love myself.
Which is not, and the other thing that comes up about that is that you love yourself. How selfish. You know, that's right. Terrible. You should.
Because that's a mind game. That's a mind game that they play. And, you know, certainly the Castro guy in Canada, you know, is.
Yeah.
Play that game. I've heard his talks a little bit. It's a total game. Oh, you're being selfish. What do you mean I'm being selfish? The vaccines don't work. They spread it. People who get the shot have 6 to 8 times more Delta. You know, it's like, give me a break.
If you even believe Delta exists, yeah. But the deeper question underlying all of that is, wait a minute, loving yourself and taking care of yourself so you can be of more value to the rest of the world. If that's selfish, which I think it is, what's wrong with being selfish? Everybody that I've ever heard of or encountered is 100% selfish in some way. And it's just that as they get more conscious, they see their self as including everybody else. So they want to take care of everybody as much as they can.
We're all one. That's the bigger insight.
Right? Because if God is the self that's everywhere, of course it's selfish. Who else is there?
Right. But the way they use the word selfish is it's kind of like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
And that's the mind game that they are playing.
And it implies you're bad.
That's right.
You shouldn't care about yourself. You're caring about a bad person, the worst bad person.
And they're defining getting a shot as something that's not selfish. It's absolutely the worst thing you can do, because there has to be around to help society survive. A few little details.
Yeah, and so if you take care of yourself, it's the most generous thing you can do for everybody else.
That's right. So we just redefine the terms that make sense. Yeah, you're being generous because you're helping all society.
So what happens when you find out that you're really condemning of yourself because of mistakes that you made in your earlier life, things that you've done that you wish you hadn't?
Well, the concept is that, first of all, everybody does that.
Right.
Everybody's made a mistake. So there has to be a system of forgiveness. So in the Torah teaching, okay, what people call the Old Testament, it's right. Clear. See that you missed the mark. Change the part within yourself that made you miss the mark.
Right.
And then repent and feel sorry for it. Do something as that. And then it's corrected.
So that's besides just forgiveness, it's, well, you might also want to not do the things anymore. No.
I'm saying you can't. Repentance includes not your choice not to do those things anymore, number one. But number two, go deeper and see what made you do those things, and that's what has to be. That's why I teach a zero-point course. You got to see, well, what's the root cause of you making that decision that actually isn't so good?
What kind of root causes are involved at that level?
Well, there's a lot. There's too many to give it a one thing. But, you know, people, they've been hurt at one time. Maybe their ego is the root cause. Their search for power is the root cause. The search to feel good for the moment, like you do an evil act, you feel good for a moment.
Right.
There's lots of things. So, but the point is people... I teach a course called the Zero Point that helps people access the root cause so you could pull it out by the roots.
Yeah. It's interesting that you mentioned trying to feel good for the moment, because what it looks like is that everybody is trying to feel good, including the people doing the worst criminal activities. And yes. They're just a little confused that the way to feel good quickly is to hurt other people.
Right.
It takes sometimes a long time to find out that's not the case.
Right.
But everybody's actually after trying to feel good. So if they see a better way to feel good that doesn't have the downside, that would be highly desirable, right?
Right. They have to be ready to make that move, but that's exactly the point. And the reset point is where I say, you see how you missed the mark, why you missed the mark, commit not to keep missing the mark, and do whatever kind of repentance you need to clear it.
Right, right.
But yeah, that is part of the reset. Okay, it's a Torah teaching of that principle. We have to have the principle. We're humans. We all make mistakes. There has to be a way of redeeming yourself.
Right. It doesn't mean that you're intrinsically bad, right?
No. It just means you made a mistake.
Yeah. And that applies to the worst mistakes. You know, looking at yourself, if you think you made the mistakes worse than everybody else, it doesn't change it. It doesn't change the principle.
Right.
You weren't being true to yourself.
But forgiveness requires changing yourself.
Right.
Cosmically, you can't really be forgiven unless you commit to not doing it again. To change yourself so you don't do it again.
Right. Yeah, it's a misunderstanding that if you commit a mistake that's beyond a certain evil level, that you can no longer come back. I think what's the word I'm looking for? It's just people are given the understanding and belief that they're too far gone. You know, in their case, they can't get better again. And that applies to celebrities, for example, that have officially committed to following Satan indefinitely. I know I've seen some on television that say that, you know, certain musicians, for example, or actors.
They actually make a deal with Satan.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, right. Even at going to a certain location to do that. And other people who have gotten into Hollywood have been asked point blank by big producers and owners of studios and things, now you have to agree to do this ceremony and pledge your life to Satan. And right. they some of them say, you're kidding, right? This is a joke. And they say, no, it's not a joke. And they do it. Most of them do it. Some refuse and leave. But a lot of them do it. And they are given the belief that once you do it, you can never get out. And I'm saying, there's nothing to that. It's just a belief.
Right. The subtlety is the more you continue to act in a certain direction, the deeper a hole you dig. So the more undoing of that, you got to make some effort.
It's the spiritual counterpart of if you eat nothing but junk food for 70 years and then you want to do a detox. It's not as easy if you're starting out when you're 15 or something.
That's right.
But it's still the same thing to do.
Yeah. No, it's called karma then, and you just have to be willing to pay that piece.
Yeah, which just means relax, because it's going to be, you know, it's going to go the way it's going to go according to the laws of nature anyway. But one of the ways, there are ways to speed it up, the recovery, right? One of which is just blessing everybody else every minute and meaning it.
Yeah. That's the point I'm making. So you have to, there has to be the grace, okay, but also the good works.
Yeah, what you're looking for is grace instead of justice, because we don't have time to pay for everything according to the strict justice rule.
Right.
And especially what you put out to other people comes to you starting immediately. So if you can bless other people and mean it, especially the ones that you don't think are very nice or that are giving you a hard time, that's a stronger boost.
I think it's important, you know, as part of your clearing your karma, so to speak, is to be able to bless people.
Yeah.
It's
an example of breaking justice. Because if you really want the bad people to suffer, which you can, you know, quote scripture and everything to justify it, if you're really emotionally taking pleasure in the thought of bad people suffering, and then you expect to be let off by grace, there, that doesn't go together.
Right. Doesn't work. Well, it works to get you in more trouble.
Yeah, exactly.
But the cosmic rules, karma, reincarnation, are in our favor because it lets us undo things.
Yeah, especially when you get to realizing that the so-called real world is not really solid. This is a projection of consciousness, right?
Right.
Which is fluid. There's no rule that it has to take a long time to change.
Right. It can be like that. Still have to pay a price, but it doesn't matter. The price is worth paying.
Yeah, and the price is fluid because we're extracting more and more of the price ourselves, and we think it's somebody else doing it.
Yeah. So that's the beauty of, and that gets us back to life, purpose, and meaning. When you're living life with purpose and meaning, you have clarity and direction, and you make certain choices that align with that higher purpose. It's ultimately, you can say it's God's will, but you're aligned with it, and that's what counts. That's what matters.
Right. And then you get certain benefits taking care of and loving yourself that you start affecting while you were always affecting everybody else, just not in a focused manner.
Right.
And that it's the way I see practical for reversing the course of things on this planet at the moment.
Right. So this is good. I mean, it really puts it together why it's important to ask the questions. Our training in school these days doesn't have us ask those questions.
Yeah, exactly. And things are moving in such a drastic downward direction in many of those areas, in schools in particular. They don't. It's not just that what they leave out and don't train you in. It's things are being taught in schools that are almost not suitable to talk about, you know, the internet. That has to be reversed. And I haven't seen any way to do it. I mean, yeah, go to the school board meetings, do all the outer things that you can. But the most powerful that makes your physical actions have a different effect is doing what you're talking about. Otherwise, you're just saying things. You know, if you become a presence there of somebody who's actually doing this internal work, I think the effect on everybody else present is going to be a whole different world.
Yes, people listen and are influenced that way. Yeah. It's hard. I mean, the corruption is on purpose. The lack of education, moral, ethical, and academic is on purpose. Because if people don't have purpose and meaning, then they can be controlled and enslaved, which is exactly how we kind of started the discussion.
Yeah, exactly. So when,
go ahead.
Once you have an idea of life purpose, then the next thing is, all right, what do I have to do to accomplish it, right?
Right. And in addition, at different ages, your life purpose can also change.
It must be, it's part of the bigger life purpose, right?
Yeah, I mean, for example, when you're, in grammar school, part of your life purpose is reading, writing, and arithmetic.
Yeah, trying to be a kid.
Yeah, and then high school, you start a little, developing skills or career. So your life purpose, there's a sub-life purpose according to your age, the time, the era.
Right. So when you say era, what do you mean?
Well, air is two levels. One is the decade you're kind of born in, 20-year type cycle.
Right.
You're affected by society, you're affected by this. Our choices are affected by that. Okay, because the society needs a certain something at that point. That's what I mean. That's what I'm saying. So we are affected by our environment, number one, but two, we infect our environment. So when we make a choice to act a certain way, it's also that choice can either uplift or degrade the environment and the consciousness of the people in the environment.
Okay. Okay. And I think you're including the physical environment too, right?
Yeah.
So the concern, the physical environment is almost like an extension of your physical body. It's a living system, all right? That's
the way I talk about it is like that. I basically, our body is part of the living planet. How we treat our body as unique living planet is then reflected in how we treat the living planet.
Yeah. Yeah, because some people have the misunderstanding that to care about the environment is only one political point of view, and right. I'm saying it has nothing to do with that.
I agree, because you're taking the earth is the living planet, is your living body.
Right, it's your physical life support system, right?
Yeah. And so taking care of your body takes care of the planet. Taking care of the planet takes care of your body.
Right, exactly. I mean, that comes down to really mundane issues, and it seems to me that when we get back real science instead of this memorization of acceptable information that has taken its place now, all the little, you know, practical issues like materials should all be, learning from nature, 100% recyclable, everything. Because you want to think in the long term, not, well, it won't matter because the garbage piles won't be that high by the time I die. It'll only be the other people. It should be permanently sustainable. And the semantics is tricky because a lot of these important words like sustainable have been turned into weapons. Sustainable means becoming a slave now. Give up all your freedom because you're destroying the earth by existing. That's how they're using it now.
Yeah,
but sustainable is important. Well, sustainable means that you don't gradually make things around you worse and worse. They stay functional and healthy.
Sustainable means being in harmony with the living planet.
Right. So it sustains the ability of the planet to support health and life.
Right. And so, you know, you take something like oxygen and CO2. Well, CO2 is not a bad thing. Why is CO2 not a bad thing? Because it becomes our food. It becomes a plant. Right.
It feeds plants.
And we give up oxygen to feed the trees and the plants.
Yeah, CO2 has even been used medicinally.
Yeah, actually, I said that backwards. The plants give us oxygen, and we give them back carbon dioxide.
Right, which they absolutely need.
Right.
And so also, CO2 is at a low level right now, historically.
Right, when you're in the right balance of the oxygen, carbon dioxide, everything works.
Right. And again,
sustainable, it means following and creating the proper balance.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, what we might want to do, if you feel like it, Nick, for next time, talk about how actual science fits into this whole issue.
I could give a presentation on the cooling and heating cycles that have been going on for hundreds of thousands of years with grass and different things like that. Because right now that's the next game they're going to play.
That's the coming plan for the coming lockdowns, right?
Right. And so maybe that would be good for me to show graphs and pictures and, you know.
I think it would be great because what's being done now is similar to the justification of the shots. You give one little piece of the graph and it gives an impression opposite to the reality.
Right. So I have the graphs for thousands of years, the global warming and cooling cycles.
Yeah, it's been going on indefinitely.
It's been going on indefinitely. It has nothing to do with humans. It has to do with the sunspot cycles.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that changes the whole thing. But, you know, like global warming and cooling has been happening long before industry existed.
Yeah, exactly. And CO2 has been immensely higher in other times without humans having a part in it.
Right. So all that, maybe that would be good to, so people could actually see what it looks like.
It's important, you know, because humans are endangering the biosphere right now. I mean, mostly it's coming from the directors of humanity, the ones that are holding power, because, you know, they're doing all kinds of things that threaten extinction of life on the planet on purpose. And they're giving all energy sources to use. You know, there are problems with burning petroleum for energy, not the ones they talk about, but there are problems with it compared to using zero point and magnetic and other things like that that are way beyond solar and wind.
Technology. Tesla already had free energy for us in the 30s or
20s. Yeah. And it's, you know, I've mentioned before that it's been demonstrated that all the internal combustion engines will run on water. That's why Stanley Meyer had a shortened lifetime.
Right.
And people complain about the Green New Deal because it's a disguised plan to destroy society. But, you know, and solar energy as it exists now and wind don't power farm tractors. But water does. That's why they let the green energy go on talking as much as they want, put them on the internet, but they don't put the people up who are talking about water as a substitute for petroleum.
Because the agenda isn't about life.
No, it's the opposite. And my premise is that the people who are doing that, you have to respect the threat to all life because it's very focused. But I'm looking at those people and the non-human entities above them. And although this is kind of a heretical point of view, I see all of those people as made out of the same spirit as us. And they just have a really deadly program layer that makes them a threat to all life. And when we get strong enough, what I want to see us do is affect defections from the dark side, which I think we can do.
Well, I think it's already happening at some level.
That's right. It started. We can accelerate.
You know, okay, well, I think we have a nice idea to start next week with that whole maybe more than one discussion, but
yeah,
good way to start.
I do too, and the fact that you can do a presentation on that is perfect.
Okay.
So.
Excellent. Well, as usual, it's a joy to speak with you and speak with the audience, and may everyone that's listening be blessed, and everyone that isn't listening also be blessed, because blessing is a way of really elevating yourself and the planet.
Absolutely. And it's possible that the worst dark figures can wake up one time because of the influence of the others and say, what was I doing? That was a bad dream. You know, that was never who I was. And this place could become as heaven-like as it is hellish at the moment. That can be reversed.
Yeah.
Part of life purpose.
Excellent.
So.
Okay.
Give us a closing thought or prayer or whatever you'd like to leave everyone with after
again,
all.
I think your idea of blessing, I think if we really begin to love ourselves enough to heal ourselves, and that gets turned into living as a way of blessing yourself and all of humanity. May everyone then be loving themselves enough to want to heal themselves and choose with that love to bless all of humanity. Amen.
Amen. That would take care of it.
Right.
Looking forward to the presentation on the Earth and Science next time.
Okay. Very good.
Wow, that was great. In my opinion, that was such valuable insights from Dr. Cousins, as usual. It makes you question this whole paradigm that we have to fight over something, and that we've been conditioned for a long time without actually realizing it, that we have to find our enemies and fight on and on and on forever, with both sides thinking that the other side is the bad one and that they're justified, and, you know, killing is the answer. And the best thing that God ever did is show that how great he was by leading armies of a few people to kill a lot of people, and forgetting the idea that there's something beyond all the killing, which is called so-called justice, to unconditional love. And there's so much power dormant in that. It's walking around in you personally every day, and we're not supposed to know about it, because if you do, it ruins the whole agenda to destroy the world, or life in the world, which is in progress right now. It's not a mistake, it's not an oversight, it's a really organized business plan, so to speak. It's a suicide mission. It's not something that you want to see go any farther. And we're meant to think, in addition to the idea that we have to fight each other, we should hate ourselves because we're destroying the planet. You know, that's why you have to wear a mask. That's why you have to be injected with things to change your genetic makeup. That's why you have to hide in your house whenever there's an order from the rulers. It's all because of maintaining this fear and conflict paradigm. What I was about to say at the end with Dr. Cousins is, again, the bumper sticker from the 60s, when people figured out that the Vietnam War was not for truth and justice in the American way, or any good thing at all. It was for other nefarious purposes. I know I was in the university at that time, and the current wars are no different. It's really rare to have a country fighting for its own self-defense. You know, the only legitimate use of force that I can see is defensive. So the bumper stickers that came out of that time protesting the Vietnam War were question authority. And then another one thought, question everything. And then another one, which was great, is that, what if they gave a war and nobody came, like throwing a party, you know? What if the ruler said, okay, let's have a war now, just like they're trying to do now with saying, let's have a war between the U.S. and Russia. Totally insane. And we're controlled by a criminal media in this country and most of the world. And the criminal media just lies about everything. And the only way you would know that is if you get exposed to independent media that's honest and not being paid by giant financial interests, and they go on the ground in Ukraine or wherever the proposed war is at the moment, and they say, look, we're not being invaded. Russia's not invading. They've been saying that from on the ground. And you're supposed to be afraid to say that, because if you tell the truth, they'll call you a Russian agent. And at some point, you just have to say it anyway, because it's the truth. And I'm not saying America is there and Russia is there. The American power structure, allied with the NATO power structure, is there trying to start a war at the direction of the people at the highest levels and above the banking system. And they're looking at their power and money rewards for the wars, because wars are really profitable, especially if you fund both sides. And then the side that loses, you get to hook them into these special repayment plans and the side that wins, you can do more business with them. And at the highest levels, the banking system is run by dark satanic forces, but there are bosses above that. The banking system is not the top of the pyramid. And what they're doing is trying to rev up potentially nuclear war, but at least regional war, and at least the local war that's been going on since the overthrow of the Ukraine government in 2014. And what the bumper sticker from the Vietnam era was saying is, what if the rulers proposed that and said, let's have a war, kind of in the, like in the movie War Games with Matthew Broderick, which was really good, from what, 70s or something, I think that was. What if everybody was conscious enough and at least started to awaken and said, we're not going to do that. That's absurd. That's suicidal. And that's what we're not supposed to realize. Whether you're a soldier or a policeman or a health worker observing people being killed intentionally according to a hospital protocol that comes from WHO or the UN, and you say, I can't do it, you know, it's not, you know, maybe I was living like everybody else and making all kinds of mistakes before, but I realized that's self-destructive and I don't want to be self-destroyed, so I have to start changing at some point. Totally forgive yourself, as Dr. Cousins was saying, and say, yeah, maybe I was unaware of what I was doing before. Because nobody's really aware. If they were aware, they wouldn't do any of that stuff. They think they're aware, but the big aware, the deeper level awareness, nobody would do harmful things if they were aware. So, but you don't have to help them do it. And when you see the buildup towards something like the World War, to destroy the planet, building up and being promoted by our criminal media. And if you work for those criminal media, really, you might want to think about, you know, your responsibility to act in a way that's beneficial and honest. And even if you can't quit your job, some become whistleblowers, and that's a good way to handle it. You know, get in touch with Project Veritas and be honest, be true to yourself. Good things happen from that. If you see that you've been supporting evil and reading off teleprompters that's not true, you don't have to keep doing it. So the suggestion is to change. And that's for everybody, not just if you work for the criminal media or the criminal medical system that is killing people in hospitals and prohibiting the use of safe protocols to get better when you're sick, which they're doing. You don't have to cooperate. Or if you have to keep your job, you can become a whistleblower and do some good. Lots of stuff we can do. And we're at a point where we have a choice. You know, everybody, I think this applies to everybody's life. Make sure that, in line with what Dr. Cousins was saying about life purpose, that what you're doing is true to that in whatever way fits your life. And I'm talking to myself and everybody too. You have to be constantly assessing the way you're living now and how can you improve it? How can you take better care of your own body? Be nicer to other people, whether they deserve it or not. And that's really critical, because we're stuck on justice. You know, we want to be mean to the people that don't deserve kindness. And that keeps us stuck at the level of permanent feud, also known as justice. It goes to no place that's good. If you can put out kindness on the emotional level, not, you can't fake it. If you fake it, it doesn't do any good. You have to learn to feel it. And we're all in the process of that education. Whatever you put out to everybody else is what comes back to you. It's nothing's by chance. So I gotta shut up. I'm talking too long. We're way over time. But I just feel the urgency at this point of all of us waking up, because we're the ones that are walking around with the potential, because of what can flow through us, to reverse the course for the world. Not from our own little ego self, but from this thing that people call God, which is connected directly to you, regardless of belief or not belief or anything else. And if you get the blocks out of the way, it can flow through, and what could happen here could be incredible. So I'm suggesting we do that. Stay in touch with where we're on the air at lostartsradio.com. If we get kicked off a station or social media or something like that, it'll come up. Lostartsradio.com/live will show channels like this where we're still on the air. Planetary Healing Club, which Doug just put on the screen, is where we have a weekly private meeting, interactive. Doug and I are both there every week, and we can talk about physical health things like Dr. Cousins was referring to. I've been involved in that on a deep level for a long time, since at least 1965. And a lot of that real health information is violently suppressed in America and most of the world right now. So we can talk about that and also deeper consciousness level issues. And if you decide it's important to make an upgrade to your whole life, what do you do? We'll talk about life transformation, not as a philosophy or a belief. We don't have time for that. Actually, if you're at the point you want to do it and you have the sense that you could experience something totally different every day, that's what we're talking about. That's Planetary Healing Club. So check that out, planetaryhealingclub.com. And if you have the means of supporting us and you want to do that, you know, because we're commercial free, consider donating at lostartsradio.com. There's a donate button there if you have the means to do that. And there's a subscribe star link that does the same thing. Either one of those works fine. And we just have to all help each other, I think. And that's what we're doing. And really respecting and appreciating what you're doing, because I consider you the hope for reversing the course of life right now. You're walking around with so much power. That's why we take the time to do these shows. Not, you know, silly little running around fighting each other, ego power. I'm talking about the power of letting spirit flow through you and take over your life. Light is much stronger than what's happening right now, and all we have to do is let it in. There are ways to do that. So thanks for the time. And remember, we have Saturday and Sunday shows. And Planetary Healing Club meets on Saturday. And I look forward to seeing you again here next week when we talk to Dr. Cousins about his presentation on science. It should be really neat. We'll see you then. Take it easy.